fact that you need to read 5 million books and watch 5 anime and 3 films and watch the new TV series and then start touching your Cortana wank rag and everything just to understand half the story. That is not good story. Hello everybody and welcome to WCCF Tech Podcast thing again. Francesco is currently freezing his testicles off.
Yeah.
It's just a surprise he hasn't got a jumper on.
Yeah, minus 41 over here.
And Alessio is probably a little cooler where he is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's 32. So, yeah. So. It's still hot.
Yeah, I think it's going to get up to, let me find out. I mean, it's warm. It's warm for where I am now. I mean, it's 20 degrees and with 64% humidity. I know it's horrible.
No, I'm not going to comment on this.
But it is going to get up to a high of 22 degrees here today.
Whoa.
22 degrees hot.
Whoa.
Yeah, but yeah. To be fair, we've got the humidity, which makes it feel worse.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk about humidity here, it's like you're swimming.
Yeah, to be fair, that's what it was like for me the day after the horrible heat wave where we were, where I was, did get up to 41 degrees, which is, that's not normal for England. That's just not normal.
It should be normal in most of Europe anyway. But
yeah. But then the day after, it was about 25 degrees, but it felt so much worse because of the humidity. The dry heat, you can somewhat live with. I don't like it. I hate it. But then 25 degrees at very high humidity, I literally walked to a shop from work, just got a sandwich. It was like a 5-minute walk. I came back and I looked, and when I walked back, I looked like I'd just done 2 hours in the gym. I was sweating that much.
That's why I like going to the mountain, because it's dry over there usually, so it's far more, manageable.
So now Francesco's done complaining about how cold it is. What are we going to talk about video game wise? Alessio's had a week off and I'm still getting myself back into the swing of things. So, Francesco, you're taking the lead today. Tell us about Microsoft. No, not Microsoft, Minecraft.
No, I was going to ask you if you wanted to rant a bit.
I can rant. I can always rant. Even if I don't know anything, I can still rant.
No, you're going to rant about this because it has to do with NFTs.
Yeah,
one of your favorite subjects. Yeah, it's pretty much Mojang released a statement and confirmed that they don't want, they've banned blockchain and NFTs from Minecraft because they don't want to see people profiting from them from them in their game. And they made it pretty clear that they are concerned about probably the security of players that may end up spending money while playing Minecraft. And they're just banning everything, in-game content, world skins, and other mods that are associated with NFTs.
I'm not going to rant about that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, but, talking about NFTs is going to...
Oh yeah, NFTs. I mean, NFTs are for people who, abuse children. That's the only thing you can say. It's like horrible thing to say, but they are. They're just NFTs are for sex pests. NFTs are for individuals who do not belong, breathing my oxygen off my planet. Now you're wrecking.
But there is something you can rant about because Epic Games said they're not going to do the same. They're going to allow them.
Wow.
I thought they said they weren't.
I mean, they aren't using NFTs in their games.
Okay.
But their stance is we shouldn't, as a platform owner, basically, of the Epic Games Store, we shouldn't prohibit developers implementing stuff they want to implement, like NFTs in this instance. So their stance, and you know.
I wish they would just block it. I mean, it's different from a big game store blocking it to a one single game, but what is Valve's position on this?
I think they blocked
them. Yeah, no, they have. Yeah, they blocked them. I think last year.
So, yeah, I thought that was it. I really wish Epic would block them as well, but I think you can see where this is going, because companies like Ubisoft and EA are obviously going to be still, they're going to go down, still keep pushing down the NFT route. So Epic not blocking them where Valve does means that Valve aren't going to stick to that rule, because the second that Ubisoft has an Assassin's Creed with NFTs in, or, you know, EA has a FIFA or whatever else, Valve are going to capitulate. They are going to back away from that instantly just so they can have those games. Or they will make an exception for that particular game, but it won't be one particular game. It will be every single big game that goes down the NFT route. So it's disappointing. It is. I really wish Epic would do it, but I can see the future, and it's not. It's a curse. It's a curse knowing everything about the industry, but you know it's happening.
Knowing everything about anything, right?
It's a curse I have to live with, but it's there.
Knowledge is a curse.
We had great power and all that.
Yeah, bless the ignorant.
I have no responsibility. But I have no power. I just have knowledge. And it's not knowledge is not power in this case.
Yeah, well, having knowledge is a responsibility, because you know things that others don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to change the world.
I do. Yeah. I want to change the world. I want to see everything bad on it burn.
Well, not that difficult with this temperature.
Yeah, true. This is true. No, but,
yeah.
You know, I think blockchain technologies aren't inherently like evil or exploitative. I think it is possible to make something that is not exploitative. So, you know. Well, I think we'll see something like this eventually, hopefully. But right now, as Microsoft's Spencer said, most of them are exploitative. So that's definitely something.
Most, I think it's all. Users,
they have to be warned about users, so they can avoid them.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, it's good news that Minecraft is banning them, because of course that game is played by many, many children. So
yeah,
you know, at the very least, children should be protected from this kind of exploits.
100%, 100% agree. It's just a shame that it takes. It's just a shame that we get to this where people. But same as everything, you give the industry an inch and it will take the whole fucking planet. So.
Interestingly, there is one. I think one group of developers. They were making some third-party mods for Minecraft, adding NFTs. I think it's called NFT Worlds. And they said, okay, you're banning us from Minecraft. Well, we are doing our own game. I mean, good luck with that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Crack on. It's like, you're not going to overtake Minecraft.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, to say the least. But
I just say it's absolutely stupid. It's like, It's in other words, they've thrown a hissy fit because they can't milk people and steal off them. Yeah. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Good luck anyway. Good luck.
I don't even think good luck. I think bad luck to you. I hope you fail me.
Well, to be honest, I don't think they're going to make anything worthwhile.
Not good luck.
This is their mentality.
Definitely not good luck. Bad luck to you. I hope you fail. You evil sex pest NFT people.
Actually,
speaking about NFTs, Square Enix started selling their NFTs now. They made they're releasing a cloud figure in the future, and it comes with a digital version, and it's effectively the first Final Fantasy NFT because you can display this figure.
I just don't know when my, you know, because I've had a very long running whatchamadoodle where I refuse to buy anything from them. Not embargo. I can't remember what it's called now.
Boycott.
I've had a long running boycott on Activision Blizzard, and I've been successful in this. I have not gave them a single penny of my money in, Jesus Christ, nearly 10 years. So, I'm now wondering when other companies are going to be joining that boycott list.
Well, with Square Enix, it can be difficult for some people.
Yes, for me, because I love Final Fantasy.
There are too many things coming out.
I said, that's the problem. I can't afford to boycott Square Enix. Not unless I get given every single review code.
Yeah, they have too much stuff.
I can't. It's easy to boycott Activision Blizzard. They just sell Call of Bloody Duty.
Yeah, well, it's much easier to boycott.
Oh, dear.
It's not like they're releasing Diablo every year or something.
No, plus I tend to review the Diablo games because I've been playing them since day one. Mm. Which is beneficial. So, speaking of companies that are shit, Ubisoft aren't doing well. That's my intro. Take it away.
I guess I'll take it away anyway. But yeah, they have announced some cancellations. Splinter Cell VR, Ghost Recon Frontline, and two other games, actually, of which one is rumored to be... Sorry. That was about the delay. Two other cancellations. We don't know which one what is.
The unannounced titles weren't there.
Yeah, there were a few delays, like Avatar, which was originally scheduled to launch this year, you know, to coincide with the movie. Mm. But it's now moved to the next fiscal year. So, you know, starting March 2023. And also they've delayed another unannounced game, which is rumored to be Assassin's Creed Rift. You know, this is supposed to be kind of a spin-off game, originally conceived as a DLC for Valhalla, but then it got bigger, and it's supposed to be, you know, focused on one of the Valhalla characters. What was his name, Francesco? Basim. I think it was Basim, but it should be, you know, taking place in Baghdad, so it's an interesting setting, for sure. Yeah. And also, maybe we'll see more of a city setting, you know, as in the earlier Assassin's Creed games. Because, for example, Valhalla didn't have many big cities due to, you know, the historical reasons. We should know more about this Assassin's Creed game in September. At least that's the expectation. I think overall Ubisoft, they had to cancel some stuff because they had like 20 games in development, really. If you count the mobile games, the free-to-play games, the VR games, and the AAA games, it's really an absurd amount. So, I wasn't surprised.
I don't see the thing is I don't know because like some of those games you can't you weren't expecting for you know a good few years anyway maybe, whereas games like Avatar should be you know they're on the last legs so those developers are going to have to move on to something, and I don't class the mobile games and things like that as real games so nah not worried about them. The VR one I suppose I'm not that surprised that's got cancelled.
They still have Assassin's Creed VR, which was announced alongside Splinter Cell, but you know it hasn't been cancelled yet.
Yet. And honestly, yeah. I actually think the game that if they were cancelling a VR game, they should have cancelled Assassin's Creed, not Splinter Cell, because Splinter Cell makes far more sense as a VR title.
Yeah, true. So, but, you know, maybe since, you know, they're making Splinter Cell remake, they could always make it VR-enabled. One can hope, at least.
You've been drinking this morning, I can tell.
Well, they should at least make a decent game first, before thinking about... Because current Ubisoft, they're kind of... all over the place. They have some good stuff, but...
I suppose the harsh reality is that this is all... I mean, this is all down to costs.
That's what the CEO said. Like, he apparently sent a letter to developers saying that they should limit their spending.
Like I said, it was... I think they were stretched thin, you know. Too many projects... So they have to be more careful in their planning, maybe.
I get that they're stretched, you know, they might be stretched thin, but I don't... it's a weird one. They need to... I haven't looked through it properly, but I've seen the bookings, the sales and bookings, but it's more how much they've earned, you know, the profit more than anything. Their sales are still reasonably well. Yeah, I mean, they've dropped comparatively compared to last year, but that's to be expected. We're no longer in a lockdown where everything, you know, that's all people have got to do, play video games. So, you know, to not expect a drop means that they've no bloody clue what's happening in this world.
Well, it's not that they didn't really release anything big last year.
No, yeah. But the thing is, last year they had higher sales than they've had this year, quarter-wise.
2022, okay. They haven't released anything this year, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first quarter, then, yeah, like you said, they haven't released anything. And I think part of the problem is, like you said, the maybe stretch thing, but I think somebody might have actually used their brain and thought, you know what, with everything going on in the world... costs are increasing and etc. There's going to be a cost of living crisis and people are not going to be buying as many video games. And I do genuinely think where, you know, a family may have bought two games in a month or something before, now it probably will be dropped down to the one. Yeah. Or one premium and then whatever else, you know, your subscription zone, whatever, Game Pass, etc.
True. But
that and also actually, Ubisoft are just shit.
Well, that's
I still think you know some of their upcoming games could turn out to be good. We'll see. But actually, there is also a rumor about an Immortals Phoenix Rising sequel, right, Francesco?
Yeah. But it's actually pretty far. Yeah, it's actually pretty far off in the future. it's still in pre-production, early pre-production. So it should be either. I think it was Jeff Grubb that talked about it. He expects it to release in 2025. So it's quite far away. But the interesting thing is that it's going to use a new setting. An Hawaiian Polynesian setting, which is interesting because we don't have many games set in set like in this setting, and they're trying to move away from being way too much like Breath of the Wild. Mm. Now, it's not clear if he was talking just about the art style or the gameplay, because the original had way too much Breath of the Wild in both.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's probably one of the best games that the first one. It's one of the best games that Ubisoft released in recent times. Even though it wasn't that original, it was just a mishmash of ideas from other games, but it worked well.
Uh-huh.
So that's actually something to look forward to, even though it's like 3 years away or maybe even more.
It's a weird one, I suppose. Yeah.
And I would have expected it to be... to be honest, considering how good it did, I would have expected to see it sooner.
I think we...
Maybe...
I'm still waiting for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
You're going to wait a long time.
Don't be like that.
You're going to wait a long time for that.
I don't know. I mean, I think, well, hopefully, we could get an update at Ubisoft Forward in a
it's
few
being
weeks.
Cancelled. The update is being cancelled.
Yeah, Ubisoft. Is it Ubisoft Connect in September or something?
Because
they're not going to be at Gamescom, are they? So
no, I mean, they, you know, as with other companies, they're basically going to be there, but it's going to be the same stuff they had like for the Summer Game Fest. So it's kind of a European equivalent of that previous event. So it's not
so pointless then. Fair enough. But, well, at least I don't have to keep some space. It's free for them.
Well, they
tell
do still
them what you think about them.
Sorry?
You could tell them what you think about them.
Well,
person.
I'd be more than happy to do that. You know, I'm not a shy person. I will happily go up to them and just say, release Beyond Good and Evil 2, you fucking idiots.
And then they will laugh at you, because they know the truth.
And then I will say, stop sexually harassing people.
And they will stop laughing then.
Yeah, might kick me out of the booth then.
Been exposed.
Let's face it, if you see any pretty faces there, you will just melt. And
I will probably melt anyway, because the heat that's happening in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably just melt anyway. I'm just gonna. I'm hoping the hotel's got a bath so I can just like buy crates of beer and just pour it in there, and ice.
Mm. Well, Cologne, from what I remember, Cologne was pretty hot for a German city. So I don't know how it is right now.
I do like Germany. I like Cologne. I live on sausages all week.
Some beer.
I do.
But
yeah, German beer.
I mean, we showed you an actually nice Italian restaurant, but you're just too stubborn.
Went with you, I'm sure I did.
Yeah, one time, I think.
So Cologne is currently 28 degrees.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It's Germany. It's pretty hot.
I mean, it's Germany, but it's... it's, you know, close to France, actually. It's very close to France.
Still in the north.
Anyway, right. Back on track.
Who's next? Who are we slandering next? We've done NFTs, we've done Ubisoft. Who's next? Sony, that's the ones. Is it Sony?
Yeah, well, or either if you want to slam EA or...
we'll do EA first. Do EA first, then. Talk to us about EA.
Well, it's not actually about EA. It's about one of their games, actually. One of the best games they put out in the last couple of years. The sequel of that. That Star Wars Jedi Survivor is probably releasing in early March 23. Or maybe even late February. Because late last week, they started, they went live with the pages on the PlayStation Store, on Steam, and there is this person on Twitter that just takes information from the PlayStation database, and it's currently listed with an early March 23 release, which actually falls in line with what EA said about having a big game releasing in early 2023.
And it makes sense to get it out there. It is, you know, if get it within the last quarter of the year, financial year.
It's going to do good. It's going to do good because it's Star Wars, and then if it is even as good as the first one, it will be. It can be pretty successful.
Yeah, I think the first one sold. It had sold over 10 million units, and that was over 2 years ago. So now I don't know, but it's going to be a lot more. And yeah, I think they even gave it away for free, maybe in the Epic Game Store recently or something like that. Oh, it's a really good game, you know, as Francesco said in his review, maybe not a lot of original there. I mean, it's clearly inspired by the Souls games a bit. It had, great combat and great story as well. So I'm looking forward to this next game. And, you know, Respawn, they've been rather quick about it too, because I think it's been just 3 years from, I think it released in late 2019, right?
I have no idea.
So they, you know, they've made a sequel in 3 years and a few extra months. So it's, you know, one thing about Respawn is that they are also quick.
11th of November 2019.
Yeah.
So three and a quarter years, roughly, from that releasing to the other releasing. That's not a bad turnaround time. That's quite reasonable for a AAA game if they've got a good team making it.
Well, I think they were also helped by the fact that they had basic systems and gameplay already in place.
And that, I think that's the other thing. Once you've made the first game, the sequels never shouldn't really veer too far away. So making a sequel should always be quicker than. Essentially, because unless you have an engine change, of course, like moving over a generation, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know, if you take a look at the recent AAA releases, that's not always the case at all. If, for example, Horizon Forbidden West obviously took from Zero Dawn, and you know, it still took 5 years to make.
And I get what you're saying, that there's the slight thing of there was a generation change as well, and there's also just the fact that it's a first-party game, so first-party titles always get longer, simply because it's not about the money, it's about being a system seller. Whereas EA need to just sell the game more than the system. Well, they don't sell systems.
True, in general, AAA games are taking longer to make.
Look at Ubisoft. They're taking, 20 years to make Beyond Good and Evil 2?
even remakes there.
I shudder to think how much money has gone on Beyond Good and Evil 2. Because
I don't know.
They've definitely spent a lot because they, you know, over 10 years ago they had a trailer.
Well, yeah, but it's not like it was always in active development, I think. It was,
not always in, but they've spent money over it over time.
Also, I think until 3 or 4 years ago it was a really, really small team. I think they were maybe prototyping technology because it sounded like they wanted to make a game, with a lot of procedural generation, and making a big galaxy.
Well, if I'm right, they wanted to essentially make it like No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
If what I've heard is correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy feat. So.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So I don't know. Star Wars. You know what? I've not really played the first one. Little bits I've, and it's from what I've seen and what I've heard and what little I've played, it's good. It's Respawn. It should be good. I still think EA fucked them over with Titanfall 2, but who knows?
They fucked over Titanfall fans, most of all.
But, and then Respawn essentially saved EA's year when they released Apex Legends.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to screw your game and then we're going to buy your company. Oh shit, you've just made a free-to-play game that has rescued our company.
I mean,
You're making a good single-player game without NFTs or microtransactions or shit. What is this strange world?
Without DLC at all.
Actually, they
make some extra stuff, but they released it for free.
I don't mind DLC. DLC has always been, you know.
It depends on the DLC.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I was always happy back, you know, Battlefield 2 when they released, like, the Special Forces, when they had expansion packs, if people remember them. Like, I used to like, they were good. They were good. DLC used to be good. It used to have content. I don't like is the shit. Where essentially, like, again, let's dig into Ubisoft, where they release a £20 fucking DLC, which all it does is double your XP gain rate.
Plebs. Respawn, I think, you know, they saved EA, but they might have also, you know, indirectly saved BioWare as well, because their successful release of Jedi Fallen Order also basically convinced, you know, EA to allow BioWare to make the next Dragon Age game a single-player game. Instead, it was meant to be like Anthem, so that might have saved another fellow studio as well. So
people higher up in EA, by accident, have learnt what people have been telling them for years. Single-player games work. We do not need live service multiplayer bullshit because other people are scum. We do not need other people interfering in our video games. Talking to you here.
Yeah. But scum. We do need a lot of remakes, apparently, like The Last of Us remake. That's Francesco.
It's time for a rant.
No rant. It's just bullshit.
Well, this is a weird one because it didn't feel like it. How many years did it release? Like 7 years ago?
No,
I've got things in my freezer older than that.
I don't remember, but it wasn't that. It wasn't that old, and then they made the remaster on PlayStation 4 anyway. So
it released in like late May or early June 2013.
Yeah, I've just found it. Okay,
it's
okay.
It's 9 years. It's not that old.
9 years.
This is a weird one. It's still a weird one. I understand they're trying to. I mean, they want to move more PlayStation 5s, but people, they first need to be able to buy them for reasonable prices. So it still doesn't make a lot of sense.
I've got a PS5 I haven't turned on in ages.
Well, me too. Me too, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. But honestly, I think, like I said, earlier in other podcasts, I think it's really to push on the TV series, which is coming early next year, apparently, by the way, on HBO. And they want to get new fans on board before.
We've lost him. We've lost him. Let's fill in the space. He's back. Are you there, Alessio?
Yeah.
There you are. You're back. We completely lost you.
Ah, okay, too bad. Well, I was saying that, you know, The Last of Us, personally, it's for me, it's one of the best games, my favorite game. So it's if you haven't played it yet, of course, it will be
I played the first one. I have played the first one. And, you know, I may play Last of Us 2 sometime this decade. It took me ages to play the first one. And it's not a bad game. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but I'm sort of in the same sense of when Halo first came out, and then Halo 3 was like getting 10 out of 10s everywhere. And I see Last of Us getting 10 out of 10s everywhere. When I finally play the games, it's like, this is what everybody was all on about? The story isn't fantastic. The character, you know, it's decent. For video game standards, it's decent. There are better stories out there. The gameplay itself, yeah, it's decent. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's just not my style of game. Maybe it doesn't have enough management simulation aspects in, but or like football mini games or blitzball or whatever, but
personally, I disagree. Like, I think, you know, character-wise, it might be one of the best stories in games. But, you know, of course, it is an opinion. But it is one that is very much, you know, shared by many, many fans of the game. And I think it's one of the reasons why you know, the adaptation could work very well, because the game was always very cinematic. But, you know, it wasn't on rail, because the gameplay was also very good. So I think that's one of the things that makes it special, because you don't get many games that are, you know, that great and that deep on a story, you know, standpoint, and also have compelling gameplay, especially when played, you know, at high difficulty. You have stealth, you have, you know, good melee combat. And of course, the first game right now, it's a bit on the older side. It's been nine years, so. But, for example, The Last of Us Part 2 has better gameplay, of course. It has larger areas. So,
I'll aim to play it by 2030.
Yeah, well, I should play the first one. I just played like half an hour.
No, it's worth playing. I will always say that it's worth playing. I just think that, same as I said, there's so many games where they get like the massive hype, and then when I eventually play them, I'm like, really? Everybody's hype on this?
Well, to be honest, everybody I talked with your exception, everybody that has played it always told me that the same things Alessio is saying, that it's very, very good.
No, so you understand exactly what it's like. So if everybody's saying one thing and then I'm saying the opposite,
yeah, I get it.
I'm obviously right. It.
Yeah, of course.
That's how the world works.
Yeah. Well.
No, I understand it. I'm not saying it's bad. It is above average. It's a good game. Probably in the realms of very good. I just don't think it's... You know, I think it's the same comparisons, that every time something that starts getting 10 out of 10s everywhere, there always starts to be comparisons like, this is the Citizen Kane of gaming, or this is the My Little Pony of video games. And I tend to think, no.
Just, I mean,
be the best video game you can be. Don't try to be something you're not.
That depends a lot on the genre that you like. If you don't like the genre to begin with, then I can see why.
I do. No, I mean, story wise, we all know, like, the thing that got me into video games more than anything, or in modern world, it's like, was Final Fantasy VII. Like, I was playing games before that, like on the Mega Drive and such as that, and then got a PlayStation, Final Fantasy VII, and then I was like, this is amazing, and it was the story that drew me in. And then every Final Fantasy since then, you know, you know, with the exception of 13, you know, stories. All story, you know, the stories. I suppose it's, like I said,
even
I think
12,
it's...
Even 12. 12 has a story.
I enjoyed 12. Halfway through. Yeah.
I liked it, but it just disappears halfway through.
Yeah, yeah, that is that.
That's,
yeah.
Well, we know why, because Matsuno left in the middle of the development.
I think that's it, and I understand that, and I'm not as much of a Shooty Bang Bang fan as a lot of people are, so, but weirdly enough, when it comes to films, I'll watch a film like Taken or John Wick, which I think's got a fantastic story, because it's a minimalist story that just does exactly what it needs to do. And who doesn't understand the story of bad men kill your dog, you kill the bad men?
Yeah, it's deceptively simple, but yeah, it's
I think
just to close the page on The Last of Us, I think what works really well in that game is compared, for example, you mentioned older games like Final Fantasy VII, you know, without getting into any details. Of course, the story and gameplay in a game like Final Fantasy VII are, you know, they are not that connected. They don't feel, for example, especially in the old game, the original game, since it had, you know, turn-based combat, old style, you know, whereas with Last of Us, you know, the two are very much intertwined. Like, you don't feel that there is a disconnect between gameplay and the story. It very much feels like a cohesive whole.
Disagree, because this is what happened in the new Tomb Raiders as well, is where you always get that sense of the gameplay and the stories sort of do have a disconnect, where you get that sense where there's the first kill in a cutscene or something, and the characters are always shocked and in horror, and you know, there's always that sense of, well, you know, they're slowly getting used to the world they're living in and all that, but by the time you get to the sense where they've, you know, they're still a bit unhappy that they're having to kill somebody, but in gameplay you've already killed 5 million people, so it there's that disconnect. It's like, again, Tomb Raider's a far bigger culprit than this in the new series, but Lara's just like, oh my god, I've got blood on my hands, but she's already killed the Ninth Army.
Well, because it was stupid because the older ones, the PlayStation 1, had very few enemies. It was more about the atmosphere, exploration, puzzles. They basically changed the formula with the.
I think with the new there is that.
No, I was just saying that with Tomb Raider and even with Uncharted, I agree, because you know the tone. There is kind of a disconnect with the gameplay. I mean, for example, Nathan Drake is always joking, but he's mowing down 3,000 soldiers. That's absolutely, you know, there is a disconnect there. But I think with The Last of Us, it's not really the case, because you're living in a post-apocalyptic world.
I understand. Yeah, I do understand that. It's as I said, I definitely agree with you. It's not there anywhere near such as Uncharted or Tomb Raider or whatever. I do find there is still a bit of a narrative disconnect that is slowly trying to get... I haven't played 2 yet, so I can't say if it's overcome that. But I did find when I was playing 1, there was still that bit of a disconnect. All I know about 2 is all the bloody ranting that the idiots have done online, and to be fair, I'm calling them idiots, but they may be right, but I'm assuming not, because they've ranted online. You know, they've ranted online about a female character, and I'm going to assume they're all idiots, and I'm probably right.
Yeah,
so, I don't know if it's got over that disconnect, but I did find there was a disconnect, whereas I understand what you're saying, where they get turn-based gameplay and such combat and all that in Final Fantasy, but I never found that as being a gameplay disconnect. Yeah, it's two sides of a different coin, but it's a period of its time where you go back to, you know, 1997, you can't, you know, that was still cutting edge, that. The fact that you had 3D polygony block people was cutting edge.
No, I mean, of course, they couldn't have made it
like action combat. Yeah. But all in all, I just think that, you know, for example, in The Last of Us, you are in that struggle for survival, which is depicted both by the gameplay and the story. I think that that's works really well, because the combat is brutal and the story is brutal.
I do agree. I just, maybe I'm remembering wrong, but wasn't one of the things about The Last of Us trying to sort of save humanity, trying to keep your humanity? Wasn't that one of the underpinnings? You know, Joel and Ellie didn't want to become like the, you know, the whatever. Shut up! He's 9 year old. You can't do that.
I
haven't played Fantasy World Dizzy yet. Please don't spoil it. I haven't played Space Invaders.
There's no story, Space Invaders.
But
space are invading.
To avoid spoilers, but anyway, I think the PC version should be coming shortly after the PS5 version. So if you can wait for the PC version.
Yeah, well, that's what I'll do. I'll definitely do that.
I think this agrees with it.
Yeah, I agree. I'll probably have to play it again, because it's been a few years. I just don't know if I'm remembering correctly about the whole... I'm sure I'm remembering correctly that one of the whole things was about, like, retaining your humanity and all that. Because all post-apocalypse stories have that. Even the Walking Dead had that. You know, when you're Rick and his team versus the governor and all that, malarkey. They're all the same.
If you, the final level, without spoiling it for Francesco.
Just spoil it, it's 9 years old.
It's very much about upending that stereotype, because Joel does not do the right thing. But,
I understand that. That's sort of the progression. I just mean, for such a massive part of the story, it's what I was saying. There's that sort of weird disconnect. Again, nowhere near as bad as Uncharted or Tomb Raider or so many games. But yeah. Anyway, I'll just stick to saying Halo's got a shit story.
Oh yeah, that's for sure, sadly. But yeah.
The fact that you need to read 5 million books and watch 5 anime and 3 films and whatever the new... To be fair, I need to watch the new TV series. And watch the new TV series and then start touching your masturbation rag and Halo Cortana wank rag and everything just to understand half the story. That is not good story.
Anyway,
so what are we all playing? Let's finish this because we dragged on a bit more than I expected.
I can't talk about what I'm playing.
This is my show today.
Like I said, I can't talk about what I'm playing. All I will say is it is a game that you do things in.
Never heard of this one before. Well, let's not waste any more time. Every week I'm playing things that Chris hates. What's wrong with that? I tried Multiversus, and it's fighting game with other people, and it's free to play.
I don't mind free to play games as long as they're not
shit.
Let
me finish. Let me finish, because it's a bad free-to-play experience.
Okay. You did pause. You paused, so that was like inviting me in.
Yeah, it's for dramatic effect. I played the closed alpha too, and gameplay-wise, there have been some balance changes, but it's generally the same stuff. So I'm still not convinced. Movement is very floaty, and it doesn't really feel that good compared to similar games like Smash Ultimate. But yeah, it still can be fun, especially because it's geared more towards team play rather than one versus one. The main problem are the microtransactions and the free-to-play model. Because you can unlock characters by playing, because you earn free currency. But it's a little slow. It's not that quick, and it takes a long time to unlock all the characters without spending money. And this is going to become worse, because they already announced an extra character, like LeBron James. And they're going to announce more of them, and it's going to be even more difficult to unlock all of them.
So it's a grind.
It's a grind, yeah. You know, the game is fun, so... The problem is that, you know, you may want to start playing with a character straight away, but you can't because there are only four characters unlocked at the start. And funny enough, some of the best are... they're not available for free right from the start. Like, there's Finn
from
shock. Adventure Time. Yeah, what a shock. There's Finn from Adventure Time that is very good, but you have to unlock him. Same with, for example, not surprising, Arya Stark is not free. And, you know, this also makes sense from an economic, from a monetary point of view.
I was just
going to
say, it makes perfect sense, and that's why those sort of games will never be good, because they've got to license these characters from somewhere else, which means they're spending money.
They don't have to, because it's all Warner Bros. Properties. They don't have to. It's their stuff. Yeah. HBO is owned by Warner, so they don't have to.
Yeah, but then again, it's a weird one because you'd get internal licensing deals, even though they're all the same firm. You'll feel like one side will license it from them. It's all a big money scam.
Yeah, but I would have preferred if the game was
not shit.
Paid premium release. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's like I said in my piece. I play fighting games for hours because I want to get better, not because I want to unlock a character. That really puts me off. And it's a shame because there is a good game, but you know, if this is the open beta and it's already like this, premium pass, there are cosmetics that are only available with the premium currency.
So this, what you're saying is you want the game to be not shit.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the game itself is good. It's not as good as Smash Ultimate. Definitely not. At least for my taste, it's because it's the characters staying there for too long. And then, for example, there's another thing that feels weird than this. It doesn't have a block button. You have to dodge every time. It doesn't feel natural, you know. That's for this type of game, for fighting games in general, but for this type of game as well, because if you play thousands of hours of Smash and then you move to this, you're going to feel a little off. But the microtransactions are the worst thing. The free-to-play model is going to... I think the game it will be popular for a few months, but then it's just going to... It would have been much better. You know, with this model, it has really no competitive potential, to be honest. Because if anyone is going to make a tournament and they have to unlock all characters for all gaming stations they have, I don't know. Really, it's just...
Sounds shit to me.
Yeah, I don't know what... I'm starting to think what they were aiming for. I mean, you have popular characters, but Smash doesn't just have popular characters, you know. It's also the competitive scene that made it popular. And I don't think Multiversus is going to have one. Not unless they go to full paid game and then ditch the free-to-play. At least the characters. Who cares about the cosmetics anyway? But the fact that the characters take too long to unlock, it will be a problem.
I think, it's weird that they didn't give players the option, because they could have easily made the premium game, which was also... like free, up to a certain character. You know, I think there are a few games like that.
Dead or Alive 6 was like that. They released the free-to-play version and then...
Yeah, and after. Then if you're cheap, you can elect to unlock them.
Yeah, instead they went with the Founders packs. And like I said in my article, the priciest, the one that costs the most, it's like $100, and it's the only one that grants you access to all the characters. It's not a good price.
Sounds shit to me. So have you been playing anything that isn't shit?
You know, I've been trying to complete the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 expansion ahead of the, because the, in a few days the third game will finally release and I want to play that.
It's already
out. Someone, people, please stop spoiling games from leaks. Random social media posts spoiled some returning characters.
I'm sorry I told you about the hamster thing.
Yeah, well, I'm pissed off about that because it was completely random. It's not like I was following tags or anything like that. It was just there. Yeah, okay.
How is it that when things happen, I never get anything spoiled? No matter how...
You know why? You know why I get things spoiled? It's because of this job.
Probably because I'm so shit at the job then. Because I don't read anything.
No, you know, there's another issue. That
you're not meant to agree with me, Alessio. You're meant to say I'm good at the job.
No, the problem, you know, it's not just that. I haven't watched Stranger Things yet. I want to.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I want to, and I will. But there was this website, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was GamesRadar. They also talk about TV shows, and they spoil the death of a character in the last season, in the title. And I have that on my feed. I removed that from my feed.
Yeah, that's crap.
At least IGN says spoilers, so that they just... You can stop reading before that, but... So yeah, I'm getting all sorts of shit spoiled. So I had to play Xenoblade Chronicles 3 as soon as it launches.
So knowing what I know, you probably do still want to watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's what everyone is saying to me, and I will do that. But I was just disappointed because
don't worry about the spoilers. Don't worry about the spoilers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's been done already, so it's not like
no.
I can't forget about that.
Don't worry about the spoilers.
Okay.
You'll know why eventually.
Aren't you playing the Stranger of Paradise?
I was playing that as well. And, well, I don't know if I'll be done by the time this goes live. But one thing I can say is that if you haven't played a little bit of the post game, don't buy the season pass yet, because it's meant for after you've played a little bit of the post game. It's very difficult if you just completed the game and then jump into that. This DLC feels like an expansion of the end game because there's very little new stuff.
I think they, added a few classes as well, and
they added they added three jobs. They added a new weapon, the staves, which is pretty fun. It's pretty fun to use. They added new skill trees for all the jobs that are already in the game, and then they added some more, like the difficulty modifiers that you can use to gain more dragon treasures that you can exchange for more powerful equipment and other items. There are a few new bosses. I already fought against you, and then the new difficulty setting changes the patterns of the bosses that are in the base game. But like I said, if you go into the DLC and the new difficulty, and you did not play the post game at least a bit, you won't be able to do anything because it's. I always felt that the post game was badly balanced because it's just balanced around gear level, and this is even worse in the DLC. The game is still fun, so as long as you get some better equipment, you can still accomplish things. But if you have yet to play the post game, it's better you do a few missions first in the post game before jumping into the DLC. One disappointing thing is that the new stuff is very limited in terms of missions and enemies. I was expecting a little more because the Neo and Neo 2 DLC do add new missions, they new places, and this isn't exactly what this game is. The Stranger of Paradise first DLC does. Probably they will do that in the next 2 months. I think they have two more coming.
Yeah, and this one I think you have to do some trials for a dragon or something.
It's basically you basically have to complete certain missions, the base game mission at the new difficulty level, and every time you complete one, a few ones of them, you unlock a new mission. The problem with these new missions, and it's they're mostly set in the same locations of the base game. They just rearrange enemy placement. You get a boss that wasn't supposed to be there. It's just, you know, it feels like an expansion of the post game.
Just rehashing old locations. Rehash.
It's still fun. It's still fun, but it can be challenging if you just completed the story and then stop there.
Essentially, it's the Dragon Age 2 of expansion packs.
Yeah. Well, I still got two more coming, so and you can't buy that separately. You just can get it from the season, the expansion pass. I don't remember how they called it anyway. So yeah, well, maybe it's best to wait for the others to come if you're not really into power leveling and that kind of stuff, grinding, because there's a lot of grinding too.
Okay. And how about you, Alessio? Let's wrap it up. What are you playing?
I have been playing mountain walking. No video games. So I've been away from video games for a few days.
You have indeed.
So that's it.
Well, so you've been out in the real world.
Yeah, I've been playing the game called Real Life.
Oh, it's a shit game. 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Currently, 2 out of 10 for me, anyway. Yeah, fair enough. Well, if that it's been a Francesco day today, then so
yeah, that's my
yeah. Let's we'll call it there, and yeah, just say goodbye everybody until next time. So see you all
there. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.